Welcome to the weekly sermons and studies podcast at First Baptist. Today's speaker is our senior pastor, Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh Lord, yours is the sweetest name we know. You are our maker, our sustainer, our redeemer. And there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved other than the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, today, as we turn to your word, which we believe is absolutely and unequivocally true, we pray that you would draw our attention to Jesus and help us help others come to Jesus as well. We ask these things trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I am a child of the 1980s. I was born in 1980. And so, I grew up in the era during which the Cold War came to an end. I remember watching the wall come tumbling down. That was a huge deal in my house. I came up in the era of the rise of credit cards, and now they just put it on your phone, and you can just take your phone and charge it, charge it, charge it. But I also grew up in the era of Dallas and Dynasty and Falcon Crest. I couldn't tell you the difference. I know JR was in one of them. But it was an era of some of the best and, frankly, some of the worst music ever put out. Wouldn't you agree? And I've told you a lot about our trip to the Holy Land. I haven't told you one detail. Not only am I a country music fan, but I'm also a big fan of 80s rock, and particularly the power ballads. Now, I'm also a huge Billy Joel fan, but that's kind of it. He had some powerful stuff too. But you know, you think back to the bands that were out during that era. I mean, Journey, come on. Steve Perry. You have to do some damage to your vocal cords to sound that good. Air Supply. Oh, I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Anyway, Bon Jovi. I mean, he was living on a prayer. Come on. In fact, one of the greatest things that happened in the Holy Land, and Mary John Carman found this, in Jerusalem, in the TVs that were in our hotel, there was a channel that was only MTV from the 80s. That was it. And all they played was 80s music videos. And once she told us about that, my TV didn't change. I didn't watch a ton of TV, but when I was in the room, it was on 80s MTV. Okay? Now, we didn't play any record albums backwards or anything, but it was really good. And if you resonate with that, it's probably time for a doctor's visit. Yeah. If that's part of your story, you might want to go for a checkup. But anyway, one of the songs that came out during the 80s, and this actually played on that station while we were there in Jerusalem, was actually won the Grammy for Song of the Year in 1990, and it was part of a soundtrack to the movie Beaches. I bet many of you know exactly where I'm going. It was sung by Bette Midler, and it was entitled Wind Beneath My Wings. You remember the song, It Must Have Been Cold There in My Shadow, to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine. That's your way. You always walked a step behind. Some of y'all are really wondering where we're going today, aren't you? So I was the one with all the glory while you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name for so long. A beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? Everything I wish I could be. I can fly higher than an eagle, for you are the wind beneath my wings. Some of you are singing it in your head right now. Well, today's sermon reminded me of that great text, that great song from the 80s, because we're going to talk about Andrew today. Andrew was one of the disciples whose name we all know, but we don't really know much about him because, quite frankly, he lived in the shadow of his brother Simon, didn't he? We remember that when Jesus called the first disciples, he called four men, Simon and Andrew and James and John. And yet, when the inner circle with which Jesus gathered more than anybody else, when that inner circle convened, there were only three of them. Peter and James and John. What happened to Andrew?
We don't know. We don't know why he didn't make the inner circle, but for whatever reason, he was not in Jesus's inner circle, though his brother and business partner and his other business partners were there with Jesus. Often when Andrew is mentioned in the Bible, he's mentioned as Simon Peter's brother. So often he's mentioned alongside Philip because Philip was from Bethsaida, and so were Simon and Andrew. They were from Bethsaida, so they may have grown up together, may have fished alongside one another. They probably knew each other, but for whatever reason, Andrew lived in the shadows, content to let his big brother Peter, whether Peter was older or younger, I don't even know, but content to let his brother Peter be the spokesperson for the disciples, content to let his brother Peter and then James and John be Jesus's inner three. I don't know if he ever wondered about it. Maybe he was more pure than I am. I probably would have thought about it a little bit. What did I do? But nevertheless, Andrew was there, and Andrew had a deep and abiding faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to pull him out of the shadows today. So maybe he was the wind beneath Peter's wings there for a while, but today we're going to look at Andrew, and here's your theme. Andrew decided to follow Jesus, and his life was transformed. Andrew decided to follow Jesus, and his life was transformed. I want to invite you to open your Bible to John chapter 1. If you're in the Red Pew Bible here in the room, we're going to go to page 886, and we're going to begin to see that although Andrew was brought to Jesus, Andrew came to Jesus, Andrew decided to follow Jesus and his life was transformed, that's not where his story stopped. Because Andrew was instrumental in helping others get to Jesus. And that's quite a legacy for anyone to leave behind. Well, look with me first at John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 35 through 40. John writes, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this: "The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples." This is John the Baptist he's talking about, not himself. He's talking about John the Baptist. "The next day, again, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Okay, so our first point is this: Andrew followed Jesus as his new teacher. Andrew followed Jesus as his new teacher. Andrew was apparently a disciple of John the Baptist before he was a disciple of Jesus. So Andrew was a busy man. Not only was he part of the family fishing business, but he also devoted himself to learning everything he could learn from John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was an interesting character. Of course, we know that John the Baptist was the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. But John the Baptist had a history with Jesus that went back to when he was in the womb and Jesus was in the womb. Remember that Mary had a relative, Elizabeth, and she was married to Zechariah, and although they were aged, they hadn't had any children, and she was barren, and all they wanted in the world was to have kids, but it just hadn't happened. And then Zechariah received a vision from Almighty God that they would have a child, and indeed they did. And this was what the angel said to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." This is amazing because what is being prophesied to Zechariah about his miraculous son was the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, which says this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." And so John the Baptist has come as the fulfillment of prophecy in his own right, but he did not come to magnify himself. He came to prepare the way for Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 19 through 31, you can follow along, but John the Baptist was causing quite a stir, and he had quite a following of his own. And when given the opportunity to take the glory for himself, he chose otherwise. Listen to this. "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I'm not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.' Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, 'Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, 'I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.'" So John had the opportunity to take glory for himself, but he chose otherwise. Why? Because his calling from God wasn't to magnify himself. His calling from God was to magnify Jesus and get people to Jesus. In fact, in John chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist said to his own disciples, "Jesus must increase, but I must decrease." What perspective? John did not rob Jesus of his glory, but freely confessed that he is not the Christ. And one of John's disciples was Andrew. And do you know what John's job was with Andrew? Get him to Jesus. That was his job. And it wasn't just with Andrew, it was with everybody who would listen to his voice. Get him to Jesus. And John did that. When Jesus walked by, John was there with his disciples, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. He's the one. Follow him." That's going to become very important in Andrew's life, because Andrew learned a lot from John the Baptist. Well, now flip over with me to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20. In the Pew Bible, that's page 809. This is a text that's very familiar to you. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And Matthew records these events as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." Our second point is Andrew followed Jesus to a new calling. Andrew followed Jesus to a new calling. Notice that Jesus extended to them the same call that he extended to everyone. follow me. It's the same call that Jesus extends to you and me today. If you are a part of this worship experience and you've never given your life to Jesus, listen for the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit as he says, follow me. But listen to the voice of Jesus through his holy word as he says to you, follow me. It's the same call, but notice along with it came a new calling. Follow me, he said, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So not only do you have a new teacher, you have a new job. You have a new calling, and that is this, that in everything that you do, your job is to get people to me, says Jesus. In everything that you do, you understand fishing for fish. You understand casting your nets. You understand you're not going to catch any fish sitting at the house. You got to be out where the fish are. You got to be purposeful in reaching out to the fish. You got to go get the fish. And now I want you to become a fisher of men. So you're not going to catch men sitting at the house. You got to be out where the people are. And you got to cast the net of the gospel where the people are so that they might come. But your job is to get them, Jesus says, to me. That same occupation with which God charged John the Baptist, he's now charging Simon and Andrew. Get people to me, says Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. That charge is the same for all of us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that same calling is on you. Bring people to Jesus. You can't save anybody, but he can save everybody. And so our job is to get them to Jesus. That's exactly what John the Baptist did. That's the new commission with which Andrew is being charged. He's seen it modeled by his former rabbi. And now Jesus is saying, you come follow me and you're going to bring people to me. Let's see how he did. Turn back with me to John chapter 1. Again, page 886. But this time look with me at John chapter 1 verses 40 through 42. Verse 40, you've already heard, but let's hear it again. One of the two who heard John the Baptist speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And so what's happening here? Andrew meets Jesus. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Andrew encounters Jesus, and the first thing he does upon leaving Jesus is he goes to the person who in the whole world is the most important to him. This is his brother, and this is his closest business partner. Their lives are intertwined at every level. And so the very first thing that Andrew does when he meets Jesus is he goes immediately to Simon and says, "You got to meet him." And what did Andrew do? Well, the Bible tells us he brought Simon to Jesus. He had seen John the Baptist get him to Jesus. He had received the commission of Jesus himself. "You will be fishers of men. Peter, come see Jesus." Now flip over to page 891, if you're in the Pew Bible, John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. This is the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And in those two little verses, when this great crowd of 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, so who knows how many people were there? Maybe 10,000. Maybe upwards of 20,000. Houchin Smith Stadium holds about 22,000 people. So you're talking about a crowd ranging in size from a sold-out BG ballpark to a sold-out Smith Stadium. That's how big this crowd is. How are we going to feed all these people? And what does Andrew do? Well, listen. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, there it is again, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" So looking out over this sea that is at least the size of a sold-out BG ballpark and maybe the size of a sold-out Houchins LT Smith Stadium or somewhere in between, Andrew finds a little boy with his lunchbox. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, if had it been you or me, we may have said, "Well, whatever. Yeah, great. Glad you brought your lunch, buddy. Hope you enjoy it. The rest of us are going to starve today." But not Andrew. Because I believe Andrew had a faith that told him, that doesn't look like much, but Jesus can do anything. So come here, dude. Come here. They're going to remember you forever. Watch this. Give your lunchbox to Jesus and watch what happens. And what did Jesus do? He took what was so little, so small, so meager, and he fed the multitudes and had 12 baskets of leftovers. Andrew brought the boy to Jesus. Now flip over to John 12. This is page 899. 2 verses. Verses 20 and 22. Through 22. I guess it's 3 verses. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. So again, what's happening? These Greeks, these Gentile God-fearers who've gathered in Jerusalem for the feast, they want to see Jesus. And instead of just telling them about Jesus, they said, "Let's go tell Jesus so that he can meet them, so that their lives can be changed." Your third point today is this: Andrew followed Jesus by bringing others to him. Andrew followed Jesus by bringing others to him. That pattern was modeled for him by John the Baptist, his first rabbi. That commission was given to him by Jesus himself: "I will make you to become a fisher of men." And then Andrew, from the shadow of his brother Peter, just went about faithfully bringing others to Jesus. What if Andrew had never brought Peter to Jesus? What if Andrew had said, "Oh, that little lunchbox is not going to do anything"? What if Andrew hadn't gone to Jesus about the Greeks, the Gentiles, who through Jesus would be welcomed fully into the family of God? Andrew was faithful. He wasn't just the wind beneath Peter's wings. Turns out he was the wind beneath a lot of people's wings in getting them to Jesus. What a legacy. What a story. And you know, I pray the same is true for all of us.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time. We'd love to connect with you. Just email connect@firstbaptistbg.org or call 270-842-0331.